growing day by day.
Blog
and I can't.
Talk Radio.
Well, a little technical difficulty in there. Well, welcome back to the Best People We Know show, and thank you so very much for joining us. Our family is growing. We're over 45,000 listeners now, and I want to thank you so much for sharing your shine with us and also our great guests like we have today, because Dr. Walter Jacobson is going to help us with an issue that I think everybody can learn and get help from, and that's forgiveness. And this is about how to forgive to really win in your life. So, who doesn't need to do more of that? I know I do. If you have any questions for Dr. Walter, you can call 347-637-1318, press pound 1, and that'll put you through to the switchboard. And I want to remind you, get a list of all of our great guests. Don't miss them. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com, which is my website, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a little box that says, get your monthly Mind Vitamin newsletter here, and just enter your email address and you'll get that at the top of the month so that you can listen to all of our great guests to help give you those Mind Vitamins to feed your whole soul. All right, well, this is a great topic. So today, what you're going to learn from Dr. Walter is techniques for building self-esteem. Not only that, eliminating sabotaging behavior. Sounds good. Practicing forgiveness and creating the life you want. That's what this show is about today. Dr. Walter Jacobson is a graduate of Cornell University, the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he's also a board-certified psychiatrist. He's been in private practice in the Los Angeles area since 1999. He specializes in insight-oriented psychotherapy, cognitive behavior therapy, spiritual psychotherapy, couples therapy, and actually a lot more. So I'm just inviting you to go to his website, walterjacobsonmd.com, and you'll learn a little bit more about some of the great resources, and he has some videos that will help walk you through achieving these things that we're all looking to do. His first book, Forgive to Win, has already become an Amazon bestseller. So it is really a great pleasure and privilege to bring Dr. Walter on with us today. Hi, Dr. Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
This is such a great topic. And what I love about, well, what you're going to bring to us today, not only a lot of credibility and experience as a medical doctor, but I love this idea of how you marry forgiveness and winning. Can you describe to listeners why you came up with this title and why forgiveness and winning need to go together?
Yeah, sure. Well, okay, so I'm a psychiatrist. I'm in practice. I've been treating people for years, and I started to see a common denominator that people were unhappy with their lives. They're unhappy with their relationships. They're unhappy with what they've accomplished in their lives. And it came down to seeing that people were sabotaging. People were sabotaging themselves. They wanted things, and then they would subvert their own efforts. They wouldn't, you know, they would procrastinate and resist and put things off and be late for meetings and all sorts of self-sabotaging behaviors, not calling people back. And the end result was they had a life that reflected all of that self-sabotage. So they weren't getting what they want. They weren't happy. Their relationships were all messed up. And so I determined that they were sabotaging themselves because they didn't like themselves, because no one attacks themselves. If you like yourself, you don't attack yourself. So if you're attacking yourself and sabotaging yourself and withholding stuff from you, you must not like yourself. And so there must be embedded in your unconscious guilt, shame, self-loathing that is unconsciously causing you to act out in ways that are not in your best interest. So I started to teach my patients to that they had to learn to forgive themselves. They had to learn to love themselves and forgive themselves, esteem themselves. And when they start to have that positive self-regard, then their subconscious mind would get the message that they're good enough, they're worthy, and then it would start cooperating with them rather than against them, and they would stop their self-sabotaging behaviors. They'd start attracting more positive, synergistic people into their lives. And so the key to this, though, is how do you forgive yourself? How do you love yourself? Well, you got to forgive and love others. And so that's the tie-in with forgiveness, that it's not just about letting other people off the hook. Forgiveness is about healing yourself, basically. And when you forgive others and are of service to others and esteem others, you are really forgiving, loving, esteeming yourself. You're building up your self-regard. And in the process, you will, over time, see an elimination of self-sabotaging behaviors, greater happiness, greater health, and greater material success.
Wow. You know, you just said so much, Dr. Walter. It's, I mean, that's like so much stuff in such a short amount of time. I really, obviously, I'm sure listeners do as well, love that hope and that energy that this is possible to change, to be able to get that winning equation, and that the things that normally we perceive to be obstacles, what you're saying is it's not those things around us. It's actually coming from within. So maybe in your practice, you, I mean, people will say, well, if I just had this different boss, or I was married to this different person, or if I had more money, or if I had this, or I looked this, or whatever, I would be feeling happier. But what you're saying is that, no, those sabotaging effects come from ourselves, not from other people.
That's right. It is an upside-down world we live in, where our perception is that things are happening to us. And the reality is it's not seeing is believing. It's believing is seeing. It's what we start out with in our mind is ultimately what we end up getting by attracting good or bad, you know, by being proactive and effective, or being self-sabotaging. So you're right. A lot of people have this victim kind of mindset that that they've been victimized by a chaotic, hostile world. There's nothing they can do about it. They're powerless. And if things had been different and other people have treated them better, they would have a better life. But no, it's really about what – it's an inside job. What you do matters. How you – the thoughts you have in your head matter. And then your emotions will follow the thoughts you have, and your behaviors will follow the thoughts you have. The actions will follow the thoughts you have. So you stay positive. You stay forgiving. You stay accepting. Let go of your judgments. Let go of your resentments. And then over time, you will see your world blossom. People will naturally respond to you better. You will have more synergy. You'll be happier. So, yeah, that's the ticket, is stop looking outside of yourself for your happiness.
Mm. All right. So, all right. Now, this sounds good. And I'm sure that a lot of people listening are saying, you know what? When Dr. Walter said that, that resonated with me. Or maybe something else you said is resonating. So if we wanted to, and I know the book, Forgive to Win, gives a lot of self-assessment scales, and you can take questionnaires in it, which I'm telling everybody is a great way to really find out who you are and really get to know yourself a lot better. There's a lot of exercises in this book. But for the sake of listeners this morning, can you give us a couple of specifics of how we change this thinking to not self-sabotage ourselves, that, you know, if we want to become successful, we actually help ourselves be successful and not sabotage ourselves?
Yeah, the really weird thing about this system is that it's really very simple. You know, you don't have to gain an incredible amount of insight. You don't have to be in therapy for 15 years, you know, scratching your head about what happened to you when you were 6 years old. You just have to really follow a few basic principles, and that is really get out of yourself. Get out of your ego. Get out of your head. Stop thinking, what's in it for me, and start thinking, how can I help others? And that's the irony. When we decide, how can I help others, and we go out of our way to help other people, stuff comes back to us, and we help ourselves. People want to cooperate with us. You know, when we are selfless and generous and gracious and considerate and forgiving and accepting and turning the other cheek, all that stuff, it really does come back to us. So that's the simple, you know, you want to end your self-sabotage. You want to start really liking yourself and valuing yourself. Just learn to let go of your judgments. Let go of your resentments. Find other ways of looking at what's happening to you. Don't assume the worst of people. Give people the benefit of the doubt. So all of these are tricks, but basically you just want to find ways to forgive. Find ways to overlook people's bad behaviors. Find ways to, like, maybe hate the sin but love the sinner. So constantly forgive others, accept others, let go of your judgments, let go of your past resentments. That's just killing you. And so that's all you got to do. It's just help others. You see others needing a helping hand, help them. You'll be sending the message to yourself that you're good enough, that you're worthy, that you're deserving of success and happiness. Forgive others, you're forgiving yourself. You're healing your own inner wounds. It's paradoxical, but it works.
Mm. And you know what I love about it is what you're saying is, if I'm understanding you correctly, look, you might not feel it in the beginning, But your feelings will catch up with the actions. Just go out there and start doing forgiving actions, doing loving actions, being selfless, and then the feelings will follow. I think today's society, we're all about this instantaneous gratification. You know, how does it feel? How does it feel? And if it's not feeling good, then it can't be good. And that's not really what you're saying. You're really, well, I guess to use your term, you have a forgiveness diet, which is a spiritual diet, and it helps people lose those resentments, just like people would lose weight and everything, so that they can feel better. Can you speak more to that? Because I think that's a big obstacle for people. How do you just get rid of that resentment? How do you just get rid of the anger or whatever's holding you from forgiving?
Okay. First of all, I want to say that I got to go back to what you were saying about people wanting instant gratification and people being impatient. You know, that it's this instant society where, you know, take a pill. If you're not better in 10 minutes, the pill doesn't work. Something's wrong. Let me go on to the next thing. I want to see results now. And you're right. It doesn't happen overnight. You've had decades, if not lifetimes, to set up a program in your mind of negativity and self-defeat. And suddenly you think like in 10 minutes or even like a week and a half, it's going to change. You're right. It takes time, but you stay with it. You practice, you persist, you persevere. And over time you do feel better. You do see the results of what you're doing. So absolutely. However, at the same time, you can see instant results. You can see how getting out of yourself actually makes you feel better immediately. And I have a little trick. It's simple. I call it an elevator epiphany. Well, next time you go into an elevator, if your common behavior in an elevator, most people is to look down at their feet, look up at the wall, look away from people, don't make eye contact, be in your little universe, your little world, separate from everybody else. It's really uncomfortable. You wait till you get out, and then you breathe free. Ah, I'm out now. I'm comfortable again. I'm me again. But no, if you're in the elevator, look at everybody, smile at people, say hi, say how's it going. And what happens is you will see a sea change. You will see people respond. They'll smile. They'll connect. What you're doing is you're basically reaching out and you're accepting them. And, you know, in a way, you're loving them. You're valuing them. And you're giving them high regard. And they will smile back at you. They will make eye contact. You'll have a few seconds of just mindless chatter. But it's a connection. And then you walk out of the elevator like you're walking on a cloud. You got this energy. You got the endorphins. You're really feeling good. So you can actually see immediate results of getting out of yourself, reaching out to others, and trying to make a positive, upbeat difference. Okay? But in terms of what do you do to get rid of resentments? What do you do to get rid of anger? Well, first you got to realize that it's in your best interest to do so. That's the key to this, because a lot of people withhold forgiveness from others. They don't want to let go of their resentments because they feel, well, this person hurt me, and they deserve to be punished, or I want to hurt them back, so I'm going to withhold my forgiveness, and I'm going to hang on to my resentment. But you're just kicking yourself in the head, and that's the prime thing you got to remember, that every time you hang on to a resentment and a judgment, you're just attacking yourself, because whenever we judge other people or withhold forgiveness, what we're really, it's an attack. And at some basic unconscious level, when we attack others, even if we feel justified, we're beating ourselves up, causing more guilt, shame, and self-loathing. So if you want to get rid of your anger, first recognize that anger hurts you. And forgiveness is going to heal you. Because ultimately, when you forgive other people, they may not be, you know, or if you're angry at other people, they're not losing any sleep. They don't have like an ulcer. You're the one who's up at night losing sleep. You're the one who's angry and, you know, your gut's in a knot because you're resentful and bitter and angry. So we forgive others. That's the key. You forgive others for your own peace of mind. So that's the prime things. Other things to do when you're really angry and resentful, you've just got to find ways to see it in a different light. One thing to do is to sometimes just appreciate, but for the grace of God goes I. You know, think about that, what these other people have been through. A lot of times people have had a horrible upbringing, or right now in these hard, harsh economic times, they're suffering and struggling, fearful that they're going to lose their job, or they have lost their job, and they're fearful they're going to lose their house. So, and then sometimes when people are stressed out like that, they behave in bad ways, inappropriate ways. They're not as loving as they could be. They can be hurtful or mean or do things that aren't right. And if you can kind of put that in context and understand where they're coming from, it makes it easier to accept and forgive.
Mm. Wow. You just say so much so quickly, and I know it's because you deal with this every day, so this is your second language, but to a lot of listeners and people who are just trying to digest all this.
I should talk slower, that's what you
No, it's just that you have so much great information, you're saying so many things, and you know, this is a big deal for most of us, and I include myself in there, that we really need to ask ourselves when we're stuck and why we're not experiencing forgiveness. The real question is, why am I being so mean to myself? Why don't I love myself enough to want to let this go? Because ultimately, nobody else is making you feel that negative unforgiveness but you. And I think that that's, you know, you really bring a new way of thinking on this from a standpoint of what's in your best interest? What's the most loving thing for you to do? What's going to help you achieve your goals and your dreams and help you win? The first thing is going to be that forgiveness. And those exercises, that one exercise in the elevator, that's so practical, how to, something we can all do today. And I know you have many of these, but I would love for you to go through something for listeners on the forgiveness bridge visualization, because I think that's another practical tool that we can all take away right after we listen to you, and then replay you again, Dr. Walter, because you have so many, you know, so many golden nuggets here. It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I get excited and I start like just spewing it all out. You're right, but yeah, there it really is very basic, and there are exercises and techniques that I call the forgiveness diet. That was the whole idea. Is people have a physical diet in order to lose weight. And we have a spiritual diet in order to lose our spiritual heaviness and to sort of return to the lightness of being that we actually are. So the forgiveness diet is actually a variety of exercises, techniques to reprogram your mind so you're in this mind frame of naturally and automatically wanting to help, be of service to others, forgive others, and accept others. The forgiveness bridge visualization is huge, and it only takes a few minutes. It's one of the supplements of the forgiveness diet is visualization techniques. And you know, you can use a visualization technique. A general one is simply, you know, at night before going to sleep, take a few minutes just to visualize the person you want to be. A forgiving, loving, accepting, nurturing, compassionate, generous, gracious. Just kind of try to visualize that, feel it, energize it. See yourself as if that's who you are now. But the visualization of the forgiveness bridge, this is wild. When you have somebody who there's a huge charge, and you're having a real hard time forgiving this person, you still have a resentment, you still have a hurt, you're trying to unload it, but you can't because your ego is getting in the way, and your ego is still in battle, and you haven't yet risen above the battlefield. You still see this other person as an enemy, in a sense, as someone who attacked you and hurt you, and so you don't feel safe, but they're not an enemy. Ultimately, everybody we see, no matter how badly they're behaving, is a spiritual friend, is a spiritual brother or sister. And so you've got to find a way to remember that and get past that. So you're having a hard time forgiving somebody. Before you go to sleep, take 5 minutes. Get comfortable. Be relaxed. Eyes closed. Take a few deep breaths. And then visualize yourself walking through like a dark frontier. It's dark. It's bleak. In the distance, you see a bridge. On the other side of the bridge, you see an incredible light, the land of forgiveness, call it heaven, call it paradise, call it peace, call it harmony and love, whatever you want. There's this world you want to get to. There's this light and love you want to get to, but there's this gnarly bridge that you got to walk across in order to get there. And it's full of like scrap metal and twisted barbed wire and rotting wood. And you see, trying to struggle across the bridge, is this person you are having a hard time forgiving. And you realize when you get up there that nobody can get across the bridge to the land of peace and joy and love by themselves. It's impossible. The only way to get there is through holding the hand of somebody else. So you visualize yourself holding the hand of this person that you resent and have this bitterness towards and this unforgiveness towards, and the two of you together, you visualize the two of you together struggling and getting across this forgiveness bridge to the land of joy and peace and light and love. And when you get to the other side and you're in this place of glory and joy and harmony and you're feeling really good and the energy is just full of unconditional love, and then you look to this person and you recognize that you couldn't have gotten there on your own, that this person was your friend and helped you get there. If you do this sort of exercise, just take a few minutes every day with it. Next time you see that person, or next time you have that thought of that person in your mind, the charge will be less. It will be easier to let go.
You know, and what I love about your exercises, because I think that's the best way. You know, you learn to love by loving. You learn to do by doing. You know, you want to go get in shape. You go to the gym. You have a little resistance. And the elevator exercise in this bridge visualization, you know, they're very powerful. Even, you know, listening to you right now and speaking, I had this visualization of someone in my mind, and I'm sure a listener it was thinking, okay, I've got this person. As Dr. Walt is speaking, I'm thinking of this person. I'm visualizing that. And then those feelings change. You know, I am really shocked at how quickly that, you know, we can put on those new glasses to see or get that new way of thinking, how quickly it shifts when we do some of these simple steps you teach. I was thinking of something, and I don't know what book I read it in, but it was that story of the man who had his kids that were crazy running around on the train, and everybody on the train was, what kind of a parent is he? Oh, my gosh, why doesn't he control his kids? And finally somebody says something to him, you know, what's the matter with you? Would you control those kids? There's other people here besides you. And he just looks at this person and says, you know, you're so right. I'm so sorry. We just left the hospital. Their mother just died. And then all of a sudden, the person's in a whole different shift of compassion versus anger. And I think that's what you're trying to teach us today, is a way of thinking that's going to change that paradigm, which is why your book's a bestseller, and that these exercises are like that little moment in time for that person on the train with the kids running around finding out, you know, oh my gosh, the man's mother just died, you know?
Yeah. It's a great story. That's kind of a segue to this, to one of the exercises or one of the mantras that I have in the book called It's Everything is Love or a Call for Love. Because I really think that's what we're talking about. Everything is perception, and you're right. When you flip your perception from ego to spirit, it can happen quickly. It can happen instantaneously, because that's the natural process of our mind, is love and compassion and acceptance and unity. When the ego, with its desire for greed and competition and aggression, that's not natural. That's something that we made. That's not what God created. And so we have made a nightmare out of this world, and when we hold love in our minds and in our hearts, that nightmare can dissolve instantaneously. So you're right, we need tools to change our mindset and to have that transformational moment. And so what you do is you remember this mantra: everything is love or a call for love. And basically, here's how it works. When you see somebody, so when someone is attacking you, a couple goes to a party. Husband's really annoyed with the wife. He feels that she's flirting with a neighbor. They come home. He starts screaming at her. You're flirting with a neighbor. You shamed me. I hate you. You stink. You know, blah, blah, blah. The wife gets really hurt, angry, defensive. Now, what's going on? Does this guy, like, hate his wife? No. Does he want a divorce? No. What's happening? He's really hurting. He wants reassurance. He's feeling like unloved. He's feeling less than. He's insecure. He's worried that maybe she likes that other guy more than him, and maybe his fears of abandonment pop up. And so rather than come out and say, I'm scared, I'm insecure, I need a hug, I need love, rather than do that, he yells at her, he screams at her, he calls her names, he attacks her. Now, she gets defensive and angry. If she can turn it around in her head and look at what her husband's yelling at her, and it's tough, but if he can look at that and go, wait a second, what's going on here? I know he loves me. I know, he's scared. He's insecure. If she can make that shift and go, this is not him attacking me. This is a call for love. I don't have to attack him back. I don't have to scream at him and call him names and tell him what a big jerk he is. You know, if I can soothe him, if I can reassure him, if I can say, hey, look, I understand you're upset, but you don't understand. I love you. You're my man. You're the guy. I'm not going anywhere. Give me a hug. You can transform in an instant. You can repair relationships in an instant. And all you got to do is make that shift. When you see someone attacking you, if you try to keep in mind that maybe it looks like an attack, but in reality, this person is insecure, afraid, needs some kind of reassurance, needs some kind of connection, needs some kind of compassion, and if you can give it, boy, that's when the world changes.
That is so inspirational. And, you know, the key to that gets back to what you opened the segment with, which is, hey, if you're not accepting yourself, you're going to have a hard time accepting somebody else. But looking at this everything as a love or a call for love really takes away the emotional charge that, okay, this is happening to me as a victim. This is because of me, or this is something I'm doing. It takes that I out of it,
mm-hmm.
and it turns it into, okay, we're two human people that have fear and love and anger and all this stuff in the world, but I know he loves me, so it's the two of us against the problem rather than me against him or him against me. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
See, you're such a good teacher. It's great. See, that's the forgiveness diet, everybody. This is why you got to get the book. Tell us a little bit more about people love. They always write into me and say they love, like, the examples of stories of, you know, you can't give names or anything. But is there a particular example, a favorite story that you have that someone shared from reading your book or somebody in your practice that you'd like to give the listeners a real sense of inspirational hope? Because this is, you know, good change is good, and it's all good.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about anecdotes and stories, but I do have one personal experience, story. This happened many, many years ago, but it speaks to the success of this program when you work it. Years ago, probably 30 years ago, I had a roommate. I wasn't so nice. I did some inconsiderate, thoughtless, selfish things. I hurt his feelings. Nothing terrible, but I hurt his feelings. When I moved, this was in Tucson. I moved to L.A., and then he would come out periodically to visit me and some other friends. And whenever he would come out to visit, he would shun me. He would look the other way. If I was starting to tell a story, he would, like, ignore it. He would, you know, he would indicate that he didn't like me, that, you know, that he, you know, that it was basically he was attacking me. And I felt really bad. Because here's my friend, you know, minimizing me, invalidating me, ignoring me, shaming me, making me feel really bad, although it was really me who was making myself feel really bad. But, okay, so this was going on for a while, and then I realized this whole everything is love or a call for love thing. I realized that he's hurt. This isn't him just attacking me and that he's a jerk and that he's being mean and rude to me. This is a reaction to what I did many years ago, that he had hung on to this resentment. He had this bitterness. He had this resentment. He had this hurt. And so what he was doing was hurting me back. He was trying to hurt me back because of his pain. So, but rather than see it as an attack, I decided to see it as a call for love. And so I just, next time I saw him, and he started doing that behavior, instead of, like, falling into that trap of reacting as if I had been attacked and reacting with hurt and sadness and this and that, I didn't see the attack. I just saw my loving friend. I just saw, you know, this person who I loved and cared for. I knew he loved and cared for me despite the way he was behaving. And I'm telling you, within a matter of seconds, this guy transformed. It was like he had a cognitive dissonance. You could see, like, his head, you know, in his mind was kind of flipping out. He was confused. He didn't get it. He didn't understand what was going on in his own head. Because here, on an unconscious level, I'm attacking this guy, and he's smiling at me. What the hell is that? And he turned. And in a matter of minutes, all that behavior went away, and he was engaging. We were unified, and we were happy. We were harmonizing. We were connected again. It was unbelievable. It works.
Wow, that is such a great story. You know, it amazes me. I'm just sharing from a personal level, Dr. Walter, because I think it's such a privilege to bring people like yourself to so many listeners who really get tremendous practical how-tos to change their life. But, you know, your personal experience as a medical doctor, as a psychiatrist, as a person, you know, you found that these things were working for you and for the people that you worked with, and this is how the book came about, because of a personal excitement that there is a way to get past this and really feel better. And that's what people want. You know, they want to feel better. And we forget, and your book shows us, that we really have more control in feeling better than we realize. You know, it's amazing, all from new ways of thinking.
Right, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable how you will feel better when you help others. It's a given. It just happens. You know, if you reach out to other people and help them, you see someone in need, you help them, you do the best you can. The same thing with forgiveness and acceptance and overlooking people's transgressions and not sweating the small stuff. Every time you do that, you feel good. It definitely changes your state of mind. So, yeah, we are not powerless over our emotions. We are not powerless over our lives. The problem is we've been so trained and programmed to think that nice guys finish last and no good deed goes unpunished. But these are all like devices of the ego to keep you stuck in self-loathing. And it's a con. And that ego, that voice, that inner critic, that's not you. We identify with that. We think that's who we are, but it's not who we are. And who we are is our loving, accepting, unconditionally loving and accepting human beings and spirits. So, yeah, these things work. We are not victims of the external world, and we don't have to be victims of ourselves either. But we are when we continue to hang on to resentment and selfishness and ego and pride. You know, get rid of that crap. Be the most impeccable person you can be. And ironically, it will come back to you, and you will be happier and more prosperous as well.
Mm. Wow, this is beautiful. Good thing we have you recorded, because we're all going to need to replay so much information. You know, we got to get the book. We'll be listening to the MP3 download. But you know, it is amazing. I just get this visual as I listen to you. You know, it's like, hey, if I'm going to throw the flowers, and there's always going to be that beautiful fragrance left on me. So that very thing that you want, you give it first, and it has to be also stuck to you too, I guess, in the process. So we have to just step out and do it. And I think that you've given so many examples to give us that, you know, confidence that, hey, try it. Hey, the other stuff hasn't been working for you. What have you got to lose, right?
Yeah. You know, but let me mention something because I think people need to understand when I say love others and you'll end your self-sabotage, people need to understand why that's true. This isn't just like a lofty idea. This is based on a principle, a defense mechanism called projection, which is projection is a common defense mechanism that people use when they're uncomfortable and anxious, and they don't want to feel uncomfortable and anxious. If they can project onto other people and see the problem in somebody else, they feel better about themselves. They point the finger at somebody else, and they judge somebody else, and they see somebody else as faulty or this or that, whatever the judgment might be. Then they think they've gotten rid of it. They think they've projected it outside of themselves, and now they're clean. Now they feel better, but they haven't done. They just swept it under the rug. They still have the same guilt, shame, and self-loathing. So that's the projection: is when we see other people acting badly, and we judge them, no matter how they're behaving. Ultimately, our judgment of them is a projection of our judgment of ourselves. It's a projection of our own guilt, our own shame, our own self-loathing onto other people to feel better about ourselves, but it really doesn't work. So, point being, if we are projecting all our guilt, shame, and loathing and unforgiveness onto other people, when we decide to accept them and overlook their faults and forgive them and love them, we are really healing our projections. We are really healing all the crap in ourselves that we're throwing onto them. That's why this system works, because projection is a real mechanism that the unconscious mind uses, and we're now using that mechanism in order to actually heal ourselves.
You know, I love the science. I love the science that you support all of these, you know, steps that you're giving us. And that is really fascinating, because I bet, okay, I'm going to put a challenge out to all of our best people we know, family members. How many times in a day do you hear yourself being critical or negative about somebody else? Consider the possibility that that's how you're talking to yourself, not about the other person, but really the mirror that's reflecting back on you. That's a pretty powerful pill to swallow for some of us on some days, that, you know, we're that projection idea that being judgmental or, you know, making comments about other people is an indicator, a thermometer test to how we're really feeling about ourselves.
Oh, yeah, and it happens everywhere. I mean, that, if you look at the politics, the political season we're in now, that's what politicians do. They're always like projecting onto other people. It's so funny. They're always like blaming and attacking other people for things that they themselves do. And then they think they're clean. They think that they've scored points, but it doesn't work that way.
Wow. It's unbelievable. All right. So tell us about how people can contact you, get your book, and how maybe they wanted to be a client of yours or where you're speaking. Can you give us the lowdown on how to connect with you?
Yeah. Basically, as you pointed out, the website is the starting point, walterjacobsonmd.com. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online bookstores. You can contact me through the website. I am open to doing consultations for people. And if you have any, if any of your listeners have any questions about what's happened here in this radio show, they want clarification or anything, no charge. Send me an email and I'll respond. I'll try to clarify and help.
Wow, that's a very generous offer. I'm telling you, it's just so much information, but I do want to, in the couple minutes that we have left, because I can't believe we're out of time, there's just so much good information. Talk about mind vitamins, Dr. Walter. You've definitely given us the multi-mind vitamin here today for every single ill that we could possibly want to heal. I wanted to just share with people Ken Foster, who's founder of Premier Coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He comments, I have done healing work for years and picked up Forgive to Win for a family member, but when I reviewed the book, I found myself healing past wounds that I didn't even know existed. What I found is that this book holds the key to unlimited success and an abundant life. You know, obviously, he's highly recommending it, but there's an energy therapist, EFT coach, Dr. Anne Merkel, who wrote, no matter your beliefs or self-help skills, that this book, Forgive to Win, can help you because it offers rational explanation and hand-held instruction so that you can utilize Dr. Walter's simple procedures and understand why they will work. You will enjoy this easy yet profound read that can change your life. Okay, who doesn't want that? That's sounding pretty delicious to have for a full course meal right there. And there's just, you're just loaded. I mean, it's an Amazon bestseller for a reason, and it just goes on and on and on with tremendous, tremendous reviews. And I think writing it for the average person that's not an MD psychiatrist, you know, you make it simple for the rest of us, you know,
right,
who haven't gone to school to do this. But you're making the world a better place, and what a blessing you are, and can't thank you enough for sharing your shine with us. And hopefully you'll come back and share some more.
Well, I will anytime. I'm there. You invite me, I'm there. I loved being here. I love sharing this stuff. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this.
You're wonderful. You're really wonderful, and I know that you're going to change a lot of lives. I know that you've had a real positive impact on me, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what listeners have to say. So I'm encouraging everybody, love yourself enough, okay? You got to love yourself enough to know that you're worth this effort. You can connect with Dr. Walter at his website, walterjacobsonmd.com. The book is a great read. It's an Amazon bestseller for a reason. You can go on Amazon and read all about it and what people say. There's even a place where you can click and look at the chapters and see what's available. And, you know, the other thing that you can do, Dr. Walter's talking about, do a kind thing for somebody else and you'll feel the kindness back first. why don't you share this show with a friend, somebody that you know who's really been holding on to bitterness and resentment. Hey, none of us are staying. Someday we're all going to be in the ground. You know, we don't know when. Don't waste the precious gift of your life. Share the show with them. Listen to it together. Maybe you can study, get that, like have a book club and study these techniques and go through the exercises together. I mean, we all help each other, and that's what it's about. So make sure you go to iTunes, download it to your mobile device, share the show with a friend. You can rate us on iTunes. That's great. And I just want to thank everybody for putting us in the top 1-2%. And I think it's just, we just hit another 1-2% in a new category this week. So now it's 13 categories. And that's because you are here and you are supporting us. And I can't bring you great guests like Dr. Walter without your support. So share it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, you name it, and recycle the happiness, because we love you and we need you and we appreciate you. And if you don't share your shine with the world, that's going to be something that everybody else misses out on. So, you know, my favorite Mother Teresa quote, we all put an eyedropper in the ocean, but if we don't do it, you know, the ocean is that much less. And, you know, we all matter. We're all here for a reason. Dr. Walter, you're awesome. Thank you. What a blessing. And we look forward to having you back to share your shine. So, in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, I always close with, be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.